Thank you very much. Well, as you said, my name is Pedro Jorge Martinez, and today we talk about this work, which is called Mutual Information of Generalized Free Fields, which we made alongside Horacio Cassini and Valentin Benedetti at Instituto Balseiro, also funded by CONICET. Well, as an index, I will first introduce generalized free fields from an algebraic quantum field theory point of view, and then we will review some of its properties, namely, for example, the fact that there can be more than one algebra that can be assigned for topologically trivial, causally complete regions. We will explore these multiple algebras that can be defined in the family of generalized free fields that have a holographic description, and we will do so by defining a mutual information for these theories. Then I will show you some properties of this definition of mutual information, namely we will assess some of the finiteness properties, and then we will compute the short distance and long distance limits, and then we will draw some conclusions. So we will define for this talk generalized free fields by two properties. The first is that the two-point function of these theories obey a Kalman-Lehmann form. There it is written for a scalar field. Rho of S is a weight, is a polynomially bounded weight, positive weight. And W0 is the correlator of a free field of mass m squared equals s. The second property is that this theory obeys Big Theorem, that is that higher point functions with n point bigger than 2 can be decomposed via big contractions, in terms of these two-point functions. And this completely defines our theory. To have a simple example in mind, one can choose rho of S to be of this particular form. And in that case, in flat spacetime, one can explicitly compute this quantity, and it yields a scalar generalized free field of weight delta, a conformal scalar. Now, as presented, GFF meets all of Whitman axioms, but not another property that is called the time slice axiom. That is to say that the algebra of a finite time strip does not, for a GFF, does not generate the full operator algebra of the theory. For a more ordinary quantum field theory, say, and a theory that has an equation of motion, the time slice axiom theory is met. The information, the operator, the algebra of operators in a finite time strip provides all the information of the fields and all its derivatives at t equals zero. This is a well-posed initial value problem. So by enlarging this, this time strip, the new operators that appear essentially are rewritings of the original degrees of freedom via the equations of motion. So the generalized free field not meeting the time slice axiom can be rephrased in say that when I start enlarging the strip, the original time strip, new operators appear in the algebra. Another property that we will be interested in is related to what is known as Hack duality. For ordinary, again, relativistic quantum field theory, we will have that for topologically trivial causally complete regions, such as the causal completion of U, a unique algebra can be assigned to this region, and furthermore, a unique algebra can be assigned to the complementary region, the causal completion of U bar. And moreover, these two algebras meet what is called Hack duality, that is, the algebra assigned to U coincides with the commutant of the algebra assigned to U bar. But for generalized free field, this is not true in general, except for spheres. In the case of spheres, the region enjoys some extra symmetries that make what happens for U in the general case when it is not a sphere is that many different algebra choices appear. So what happens is the theory is that all these algebra choices collapse into a single one. So we will drop the discussion of spheres for now, but one can have in mind that in general for causal completion of U, many algebra choices appear. One can see that this, since there are more than one algebra for U and more than one algebra for U bar, one can easily see that if one picks one for U and another for U bar, in general, this equality will not be met. I will show you in the next slide a simple example of this. But from a pure quantum field theory point of view, one can see this by building what are called the minimal and maximal algebras for this region. The minimal algebra will be the one that is composed by all the smeared local operators inside of the causal completion of U. And the maximal algebra will be the one that is the commutant of the minimal algebra assigned to U bar. These two algebras are naturally assigned to U. But it can be seen, for example, in this explicit conclusion by Igmanson that these algebras are not the same. Now, these ambiguities are hard to visualize from a purely quantum field theory perspective. So we will grab conformal GFF or holographic, more generally holographic GFF And this, all these ambiguities in Algebra will be clear, and we will drawn to a more familiar setup. We will define a mutual information for these theories, and we will do some quantitative analysis. Now, we map the problem of this choosing these algebras in terms of knowing that this GFF have a famous description in terms of free fields on asymptotically ADA spacetimes. The thing is that since the theories we are dealing in ADA spacetimes are free quantum field theories, we have effectively mapped the choosing of different algebras in the boundary by choosing different wedges in the void. There are many famous wedges that are defined. I will not explain these choices to the audience. I will only mention that the causal wedge is associated, is known to correspond to the minimal algebra that I have discussed in the previous slide. And I must also mention that there are many recent papers that use a similar setup. I put some of these here, but in the sense that they explore different algebras that appear in the context of ADS-CFT. But I must say that the thing that makes our paper different, or the thing that changes our perspective, is that we are interested in the generalized free field as a standalone quantum field theory, regardless of its connection with the Larsen theory of a UV-complete quantum field theory or not. We are only interested in the GFF as defined in the slide 2. In this sense, for example, we do not assign a more important role to the entanglement wedge or to the causal wedge. For us, it's just two different possible choices. So now, at this point, I will define the quantity we are interested in. This is we define the mutual information of a GFF for any wedge between two regions A and B as the mutual information of the scalar dual field, or the dual field in general, for this, the bulk regions associated to this wedge. This, as it says here, this definition extends trivially to other wedges, but here it is written for the entanglement wedge for a very important reason. In the top right corner, I have a reminder of the definition of the mutual information in terms of entanglement entropies, that one might think that at this point that oral computations will be the same as the standard ADS-CFT computations, as long as we keep our definition inside the entanglement wedge, but this is not the case. This is the two computations coincide when we are in the long distance regime. This has been shown many years ago. What happens is that in the standard holographic computation, these three terms for the entanglement entropy all begin with a leading area term and then have some bulk entanglement entropy contributions. But since the two systems are very far away, the Ryo Takayanagi orders this third term to contribute at leading order with an area that is just the sum of these two areas. All the four areas cancel in this expression, and the mutual information of the holographic CFT matches the mutual information of the generalized free field in the void. For the short distance, however, this theory on the right-hand side has a number of operators of weight delta of order of n, which trigger a phase transition in this third term that jumps to a connected phase, so these area terms no longer cancel, and one gets an area law for this quantity. The theory we're interested in lacks these operators by definition, so the quantity we're interested in this case, is shown to be different from the standard holographic computation, and is the one that retains the original algebra assignation, simply because the phase transition does not happen. The upshot of this slide is once again to make clear that we are interested in quantities that always make sense for generalized free field, regardless of a connection with holography or not, the standard ADS-CFT holography or not. So by now, I have shown you that I presented a somewhat new quantity, so one may pose very simple questions for the quantity we have defined. For example, is it finite? Does it assign a finite mutual information for boundary regions? And to assess finiteness, one can see, one can see that the regions that may pose some troubles have to do with the boundary regions, since because of the ADS work factor. At this point, correlators decay, but the area of that one has to take into account become all bigger. So to assess, to test conversion, it is enough to build a toy algebra assignation built from Poincaré patch motivated. The algebra here is defined, as a rigid extension of the form of the boundary up to a cutoff set equals set zero from set equals to zero. And in this particular choice of algebras, the one can explicitly compute the mutual information between these two regions, and it turns out to be a very similar computation as a Kaluza-Klein like decomposition, in which the masses that appear here, instead of being related to standard spherical harmonics, have to do with zeros of Bessel functions due to the metric of ADS. But essentially, the computation turns into the mutual information is a sum of these I0 quantities that are flat space-time, flat space mutual information for scalar fields. And this, the important thing here is that these quantities are known to fall exponentially at large mass, and this sum converges as was studied by Marina Horacio many years ago. As a consistency check, one can check that these converges that I'm talking about end at the unitarity bound. This is expected because at this point, our holographic description of the generalized field should break down. An interesting point here, I think it can be made. Suppose we take from this toy algebra assignation the limit set 0 to infinity. This yields a divergent mutual information. This is called the dual net in the algebraic quantum field theory literature. This is known to have no split property. And from our drawing, it is clear that it's not have, because for every any two regions A and B, they all share the operators at set equal infinity. And furthermore, one can see that from our computation in the set zero limit, I have not written the expression, but it's not very important. This, this spectrum becomes continuous, and this sum can be approximated by a convergent integral, but times a factor set zero that reveals that for this algebra assignation, there is no sensible mutual information that can be defined for any two regions in the boundary, because everything is divergent, no matter how far or close the systems are in the boundary. So I come back for a second just to say that this will not be the case for any of the mutual information we will compute. This was just a comment on the properties that the mutual information can have if one chooses different algebras. So we will always work with setups which have finite mutual information. At this point, I will tell you about the short distance mutual information limit. We compute, we take the system of two almost complementary spheres, a sphere A and an almost complementary sphere B, separated by a small distance epsilon compared to the radius of the sphere. As I said, for spheres, this ambiguity of algebras disappears and all collapse into the same. So here it is written, here our quantity of interest is written for the entanglement wedge, but it could be any wedge of choice. They are all the same. And we are interested in providing an expansion in terms of R over epsilon for the long distance, for the short distance mutual information. The result of this computation in the bulk can be seen to split into two contributions, one coming from regions near the boundary and the other one coming from regions deep inside the bulk. For the regions near the boundary, I did not show you, but from the drawing one can see that the arguments are very similar to the Kaluza-Klein decomposition I discussed earlier. And this provides a leading term of this expansion called coded violet that begins with an area law. This is very, this is, does resemble the computation for an ordinary CFT mutual information that begins with an area law and actually provides a full series of terms that jumps powers by two, much like this and a log terms appear for the even. However, one can see that the actual leading contribution for the GFF comes from the bulk region. In the bulk region, for sufficiently small epsilon over R, one can treat the computation requires to take into account correlations of very, very close, very UV correlations here, which allows one to take both the mass of the bulk field and the curvature of spacetime as a perturbation. And one can actually see that the leading order, for example, does not depend nor on the mass or on the curvature. Neither, for example, for example, the first term in the boundary contribution does depend on delta because it fills the boundary conditions that one must put here. By the end, we have an expression that has two series that jump powers by two. But since one begins with a volume law and one begins with an area law, we end up with a full series with all powers of R over epsilon and a log term that appears at all dimensions, but that changes nature if even is D or is even if D is even or D is odd. This odd power appearing in front of the short distance expression was already, this volume law was already noticed by Al-Shouk and Papadodimas many, many years ago using the thermal partition function, but this is rewriting in terms of the mutual information of the field. There is an interesting structure in the subleading terms of this on this series, but let me skip this for the sake of time. And now I will present you the results for the long distance mutual information. I think this is the most interesting computation of our work. The setup is the following. We start with very two far away spheres. And let me define the causal, two spheres and the causal. I will always be discussing causal complete regions. So when I talk about spheres, I'm actually referring to the double cone. B is very far away. And I will deform, I will define, similar to Gonzalo, a sphere not by the t equals zero surface, but by, for example, this blue shaded region. For example, take the curve gamma of omega as a constant. The causal completion of this blue shaded region where gamma is a constant is the full sphere. And I will deform this sphere in the following way. I will always be sitting on the causal path of a single point. And I will remove a pencil of this constant region in a two-parameter deformation parametrized by alpha, which is the width, and zeta, which is the distance to the point. And suppose we can compute the mutual information between this sphere and this odd-shaped region. That is the causal completion of this blue region. Suppose we can compute the mutual information between these two. It has been argued in a previous work by Gonzalo, Horacio, and collaborators that this can be used as another parameter for the theory having free sectors or not. And it was argued in our paper that this can also be used to test as another parameter for the theory of a property we will call causality. Let me explain both limits. The operators should be the operation that we are doing to this quantity is to take z to 0 and alpha to 0 in different orders. For the interacting scenario, one first takes zeta to 0. And in this limit, what one is doing is essentially removing the whole space-time volume, the whole space-time volume of the region, leaving in the limit only a codimension 2. There is only a codimension 2 surface. There is no space-time volume in this limit. And it is a known result that only free field algebras can be smeared in codimension 2 surfaces. By this reason, if our theory is completely composed of free quantum field theories, one should expect that the mutual information between the gamma and B cannot be distinguished from the mutual information between the two original spheres. So in this limit, if the mutual information yields the full result between the two spheres, the mutual information diagnoses our theory as a free quantum field theory. If on the other side, the theory is completely interacting between all sectors, this computation should give zero. There are no free sectors from the mutual information perspective. And in any other case, we can have intermediate results. The causal test follows a different reasoning. If we take first alpha to zero, what one essentially is doing is to, by moving zeta, is to remove a zero measure region from an otherwise nice causal Cauchy surface to recover the full sphere algebra. So for an ordinary quantum field theory, as I was quoting many slides ago, the expectation is that this deformation, again, the algebra assignation is robust enough to not notice this deformation, and this in this limit, the mutual information for an ordinary quantum field theory should still give the full mutual information between the two spheres. And I will call this result causal. And we will call any other result non-causal, for a lack of a better description. Now, the computation we will do is, once again, via holography. We choose conformally coupled fields in ADS4 in our paper. And the key point of choosing this weird, shapes that I've chosen in the last slide is because whenever since I can define both my systems in terms of regions localizing the past null cone of surfaces, I know that the Boole computation also localizes in the past null cone. The mutual information for this long distance regime, the form is known. There are some coefficients here that are no important to us, but the important piece is this one. L is the distance between the two spheres. The long distance dependence is fixed, and the only dependence of the system, CA and CB, are two coefficients that are essentially quantify the area of the region that from the boundary region. It quantifies the area of the wedge. This wedge, instead of being at t equals 0, is localized in the past null cone, as I explained. But since we are no longer dealing with spheres, the thing is that both the causal wedge and the entanglement wedge prescribe different ways of getting inside the bulk. So we will be able to quantify the mutual information for the causal wedge and for the entanglement wedge, and we will find different results. For the causal wedge, we define the mutual information in this fashion. And both results are interesting. The interacting test, this is the limit set to 0 first and alpha to 0 second, reveals that the mutual information diagnoses the generalized free field with this algebra assignation as fully interacting. And this is interesting because the theory at all times keeps being Gaussian. So in this sense, the mutual information is able to detect, to make a difference between free fields and generalized free fields in our definition. We are also able to compute the rate at which this quantity goes to zero. And moreover, the causal test also yields a zero result, which means that the minimal algebra that can be assigned for a generalized field for this type of regions not only does not retain the complete mutual information between these spheres, but it even goes to zero. So it loses all mutual information between the spheres. These are some sample curves. What one can see in the causal wedge is that regardless of A being small or exactly equal to zero, whenever I move set to zero, the area that I must compute, which is the area between the curve and this full point, similar to the area similar to the blue area here, these are some sample curves. Whenever I move set to zero, the area that I must compute, yes, the area that I must compute completely collapses to the boundary and yields an exactly zero result. Now, for the entanglement wedge, something must necessarily change. If you recall from many slides ago, I said that for this choice in the long distance regime, this computation must match what we expect of a holographic CFT. Interestingly enough, the interacting test gives the same. It is still diagnosed by the mutual information as a full interacting theory. We are able to compute also the rate of decay. This is just a sanity check because by definition, the entanglement wedge must be bigger or equal to the causal wedge. So the fact that this falls off slower than before is just a signal that the entanglement wedge indeed contains more operators than the causal wedge. But more interestingly, this is, I think, an interesting result of our work. One can see that the mutual information of the entanglement wedge in this limit actually retains the complete mutual information between the two spheres. The behavior of the curves are widely different. Whenever I put alpha to zero first, one can see that these curves that were going to collapse to the boundary completely sit completely still to this bound, and then go to set zero. So in the end, the area that I was computing is the full area of the two spheres. But by our analysis, my main point is that this is clear that it's more a property of the entanglement wedge choice than the generalized free field, and that we actually expect that for a generic algebra choice between the causal and entanglement wedge, the result of this limit does not yield the full mutual information between the spheres, but it is smaller. So in that sense, we would diagnose the theory as being generically non-causal. So this is my last slide. For conclusions, we have defined generalized free fields as quantum field theory that admit more than one possible algebra for topologically trivial causally complete regions. We have tried to visualize this problem in a holographic scenario where this algebra choices can be visualized in a more familiar setup. Holographic GFF map the possible GFF algebra to bulk free fields and bulk regions in some cases in asymptotically ideal spacetime. We define holographic GFF mutual information. We assess some of these basic properties, and then we explore a short distance limit. We found a volume law. This volume law the Larsen theory is protected via a phase transition. And as a question, I leave that one would like to have a profound understanding on what this volume law, we have unveiled the volume law via the holographic description, but I would like to have a CFT origin to comprehend better the CFT origin of the volume law from a quantum field theory point of view. And in the long distance limit, we have actually performed a quantitative computation that is sensible to the algebra choice that we have made. And on the other hand, we diagnose that GFF are in general interacting and non-causal, but it so happens that the entanglement wedge choice is blind to non-causality, and that is why in our paper we were talking about fake causality in this sense. So that would be it. Thank you very much.
Any questions for Pedro?
Yeah, just to clarify, so I might just not have understood, but since you said at the beginning that in a GFF it's not guaranteed that the algebra for a subregion is the same as the algebra for the causal development of the subregion, mm-hmm. in the holographic cases, are the algebras you're looking at always associated to a full causal diamond on the boundary?
Yes.
So is that why the causal wedge is kind of the smallest, corresponds to the smallest algebra?
Yes, let me go back to that. Maybe I was not clear enough. And actually, I forgot to say something. I said that I was going to give an example of this algebra ambiguity. The minimal algebra, which is the additive algebra here, U is representing a causally complete region in the boundary, which is, in general, I am thinking of it not being a sphere. Otherwise, everything collapses. Yeah. That, I think that was probably your question. Yeah. But let me say something else, just in case to clarify. Suppose U is not a sphere, U bar is a complement. The causal wedge for UC will in general have this shape of, it doesn't matter. But UC bar will in general not sit in the same place as the causal wedge here. So the choices of algebras that do not meet Hall duality that I was talking before can be seen, for example, as taking assigning a wedge a little bit beyond this causal wedge for U, and for U bar a little bit beyond, but they do not touch each other. One can see that both algebras still commute, but the commutant of one algebra does not match the other. I'm just playing around with the shadow region here. That was mm-hmm. all my claim. This is very clear in the holographic picture, but this is difficult to visualize in the QFT.
So, but did you consider, I mean, you could have considered smaller regions that are not complete causal developments on the boundary. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And those presumably could have even smaller algebras that are even smaller than the causal wedge.
Yes, right? But let me say, that is probably something I did not mention by time. My intention is to compare sometimes results from the generalized free field to theories that are Lorentz invariants and that do meet the time slice axiom. If your theory has, for example, an equation of motion, there is no sense in which I can talk about the algebra of a region at time equals zero, because the algebra is the same as the causal development of that. That is why I'm always discussing causally complete regions. I'm interested in discussing causally complete regions in order to be able to compare. So just it makes sense. Thanks for the question.
Anyone else? Well, otherwise, let's thank Pedro and both speakers of this session again.